in light of all the circumstances, commuting her sentence was entirely appropriate.
It is absolutely preposterous to hear people saying that there are no consequences for her actions. She has been tortured and imprisoned, denied basic medical care, and it is time for her to be free.
I'm proud that we maybe provided a good block downfield to help the movement advance. I don't think it is something that will be reversible.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Sri Lanka keeps its laws against same-gender sex. Ireland lifts ban on blood from currently inactive gay men, and trans whistleblower Chelsea Manning's shameful sentence commuted by Obama. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Jessica Andrea.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending January 21st, 2017. The government of Sri Lanka has rejected proposals to repeal criminal penalties for private consensual adult same-gender sex. The South Asian island nation's laws, remnants of British colonial rule since 1883, punish same-gender lovemaking with up to 12 years in prison. Sections 365 and 365A of the Penal Code outlaw carnal intercourse against the order of nature with any man, woman, or animal, and gross indecency with another person. An insider claimed that some cabinet ministers objected to repeal because it was yet another surreptitious attempt to recognize homosexuality. Health Minister Dr. Rajitha Senaratne told reporters that even in Europe, there are strong Catholic countries that do not support homosexuality. We are a Buddhist country, and we too are against it. She also claimed that the laws are inconsequential because they're rarely enforced. Equality activists charge that the very existence of the laws tacitly permit anti-LGBT harassment, extortion, and police abuse, all confirmed as commonplace in Sri Lanka, according to a report by Human Rights Watch last year. Cabinet ministers did, however, agree to include a ban on discrimination based on sexual orientation in a new National Human Rights Action Plan. Many activists remain cynical, however. Some note that denying human rights of any kind to LGBT people is clearly discrimination in itself. Others say that people are unlikely to respect sexual and gender minorities when the law doesn't.
U.S. President Barack Obama this week commuted the 35-year prison sentence of transgender whistleblower Army Private Chelsea Manning. She's scheduled to be released on May 17th after serving 7 years of her sentence in the men's military brig at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. That included long stretches of solitary confinement, rejection of her wish to present as female, denial of medical care related to her gender identity, hunger strikes, and 2 suicide attempts. Before her transition, then-military intelligence analyst Army Private Bradley Manning was convicted in 2010 of providing WikiLeaks with hundreds of thousands of secret government documents, including incident logs, diplomatic cables, and video of U.S. war atrocities in the largest leak of classified military documents in U.S. history. Manning has been damned as a traitor by her detractors, but hailed as a courageous whistleblower by her supporters. Evan Greer is the campaign director for Fight for the Future, an online First Amendment advocacy group. She celebrated Manning's pending release on the January 17th edition of the Pacifica Evening News.
Their action on Chelsea Manning was the only moral thing to do, and they were under an incredible amount of pressure to do it. The severity of Chelsea Manning's sentence was always unreasonable. Even for people who believe that what she did was wrong, she served more time than any other whistleblower in U.S. history. And I think this year, this ceased to be a debate about whether what Chelsea did was right or wrong and became highly focused on the U.S. government's deplorable treatment of her as a human being.
Greer said the presidential commutation demonstrates the power of grassroots organizing and of personal perseverance.
I think all credit goes to Chelsea herself and to all of the organizers that worked to get her free. It also sets a precedent for transgender prisoners and for transgender people in general. I think the treatment of her and the denial of her access to gender-related health care while in prison is something that became daily or monthly headlines and had an impact on the public's perception. And I think that will send a message to authorities in the future that that type of abuse won't be tolerated.
First Amendment activist Evan Greer. Manning tweeted her gratitude to the president on January 19th with, "Thank you, Barack Obama, for giving me a chance."
The good news is that the Republic of Ireland has lifted its lifetime ban on men who have sex with men donating blood. It's a remnant from the height of the AIDS panic of the 1980s. The not-so-good news is that gay and bisexual men still must have been celibate for 12 months before they'll be allowed to help save lives. Similar 12-month restrictions limit blood donations by men who have sex with men in the UK, Australia, Canada, the US, New Zealand, the Netherlands, and several other countries. Italy, Spain, Argentina, South Africa, Russia, and a few others screen blood donors based on their individual risk, rather than an across-the-board ban on a specific subgroup of the population. Germany, China, Austria, Thailand, and Turkey are among the countries that continue their blanket ban on blood donations by men who have sex with men.
Gambia's president, Yahya Jammeh, one of the world's most anti-queer leaders, refused to relinquish power after he was defeated in his re-election bid on December 1st. LGBT rights activists have joined others around the world to monitor the unfolding crisis. Jammeh refused to step down after initially conceding the election to his opponent, Adama Barrow. After Jammeh fired the Electoral Commission and demanded new elections, Barrow fled to nearby Senegal, where he was officially sworn into office as Gambia's new president on January 19th. After mounting global pressure, including a unanimous resolution from the UN Security Council calling on Jammeh to leave, troops from an alliance of neighboring West African countries entered the country on January 20th, intending to remove him by force if necessary. After his military leaders finally abandoned him, Jammeh has agreed to step down without bloodshed. The new president's thoughts on LGBT rights are not known, but local human rights activists say Adama Barrow couldn't be much worse than Jammeh, who had threatened to execute all LGBT people and claimed to be able to cure AIDS with a homemade concoction of herbs and bananas.
U.S. President Barack Obama's administration maintained a robust section on the official White House website devoted to LGBT rights, including a regularly updated blog detailing policy commitments and details about the White House's work to advance LGBT equality. "The president and his administration are dedicated to eliminating barriers to equality," the site declared, "fighting discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, and engaging LGBT communities across the country." Immediately upon the inauguration of Donald Trump as the 45th U.S. president on January 20th, the Obama administration's comprehensive declaration of support for LGBT equality on the WhiteHouse.gov site was replaced with nothing. The LGBT rights section has been entirely deleted, along with other sections, including those addressing climate change and women's rights.
Trump seemingly called for blind allegiance in his inaugural address.
"From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other."
MSNBC commentator Chris Matthews called the tone of the speech
Hitlerian.
The new president's only announced LGBT-related policy position is a pledge to sign the Republican-backed First Amendment Defense Act, which would establish a federal law allowing overt discrimination against LGBT people by businesses and individuals based on sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. A few hours after the inauguration, reports surfaced that John M. Gore, the private lawyer who's been defending HB2 in federal court, that's North Carolina's so-called bathroom bill, has recused himself from that case to accept Trump's nomination to head the Civil Rights Division of what will presumably be Attorney General Jefferson Beauregard Sessions' Department of Justice.
And finally, everyone's favorite foursome, the titular Will and Grace, with best buds Jack and Karen, along with Karen's delightfully insolent maid, Rosario, and closeted arch-nemesis, Beverly Leslie, are coming back to network television. The groundbreaking show racked up a total of 16 Emmy Awards from 1998 to 2006. Rumors of the reunion have swirled for months, especially after the four leads, played by Eric McCormick, Deborah Messing, Megan Mullally, and openly gay Sean Hayes, appeared in a brief Get Out the Vote pro-Hillary episode during the presidential election campaign. The video attracted close to 7 million views. The official announcement came during this week's annual Television Critics Association press tour in Southern California, when NBC confirmed that it had ordered a 10-episode run. Co-creators David Cohan and Max Muchnick will also be returning, along with the multi-award-winning James Burrows, who directed all the episodes during the show's original 8-year run.
Jennifer Salke, president of NBC Entertainment, told reporters that, "When we looked at that Get Out the Vote video, it was so clear that the magic of all those relationships was still there. Yes, it's later and time's passed, but it made me more interested to fill in what happened along the way. The fact that all four of the original stars were excited about getting back into production," she added, "is a testament to the joyful experience they had doing nearly 200 episodes. Openly gay co-creator Muchnick said in a statement that, "Dave and I are absolutely thrilled about the opportunity to write what Will, Grace, Jack, and Karen are thinking about in 2017.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 21st, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Jessica Andrea.
And I'm John Dyer V.
Commuting the sentence of U.S. Army whistleblower Private Chelsea Manning was one of the final official actions taken by President Barack Obama. Manning was convicted in 2013 for leaking the largest cache of classified documents in U.S. history, including the infamous video of an Apache helicopter killing two journalists and 10 other civilians in Baghdad in 2007. Although Manning's identity as a trans woman was publicly revealed shortly after her conviction, she was sentenced to serve 35 years in the men's military prison in Fort Leavenworth. Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Has more.
Whistleblower Chelsea Manning is now set to be free May 17th after Obama shortened her sentence from 35 years to 7. According to her attorney, she's already the longest-held whistleblower in U.S. history. She's been in military custody since May 2010. Manning leaked more than 700,000 classified files and videos to WikiLeaks about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and U.S. foreign policy. She's been subjected to long stretches of solitary confinement and denied medical treatment related to her gender identity. Chelsea Manning attempted to commit suicide twice last year. Joining us now are two of her attorneys. Nancy Hollander is Manning's appellate attorney. Strangio of the ACLU represents Manning in a lawsuit against the Pentagon for denial of medical care related to her gender dysphoria. Chase Strangio, your response to what President Obama did yesterday.
Well, I first want to thank you and everyone who's supported Chelsea over the years. The reality is that this was a mass mobilization effort, keeping her story alive, led by Chelsea herself and all of the people who made sure that nobody forgot the justice that she fought for and the incredible symbol of democratic principles and advocacy that she really embodies. Yesterday was an incredible day for us who care about her. As I've said time and time again, President Obama really had her life in his hands, and it's such a relief that he acted on the side of mercy and justice here.
Have you spoken to Chelsea?
Unfortunately, we haven't spoken to Chelsea, which is a bit concerning, but we're remaining hopeful that we will be able to speak with her today and actually be able to share this news. It's quite unusual for the individual to not be informed of their commutation with their attorneys, but we know that she was on standby waiting for this. I spoke with her yesterday around 2 p.m., and she was just her sort of hopeful, pragmatic self waiting for news, and we were all hoping and praying with her. So hopefully today we'll connect with her and get to share in this incredible moment that really did save her
life.
You
believe she was the longest-held whistleblower?
Absolutely. She has served 7 years already. The 35-year sentence was egregious at the time. It's particularly egregious in retrospect.
Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan released a statement protesting the commutation, saying, quote, "This is just outrageous. Chelsea Manning's treachery put American lives at risk and exposed some of our nation's most sensitive secrets. President Obama now leaves in place a dangerous precedent that those who compromise our national security won't be held accountable for their crimes." Meanwhile, Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona called the commutation a grave mistake. Quote, "Thousands of Americans have given their lives in Afghanistan and Iraq, upholding their oaths and defending this nation. Chelsea Manning broke her oath and made it more likely that others would join the ranks of her fallen comrades. Her prison sentence may end in a few months, but her dishonor will last forever." Nancy Hollander.
It's just false. The Secretary of Defense at the time, Gates, said that the worst that happened was some embarrassment for the United States. There was not a single individual ever identified who was harmed by what Chelsea did. What Chelsea did actually helped the United States. It helped Americans. It helped people around the world understand about human rights violations, understand, bring war home to people. She wanted people to see what happens to somebody who gets killed, what happens to people in Iraq and Afghanistan. She wanted to make this real so that we would stop doing these kinds of things to people. And so what they're saying is exactly the opposite of what Chelsea did. There's never been a single bit of evidence that anybody was harmed or that national security was harmed.
Chase Strangio.
She has served 7 years. It is absolutely preposterous to hear people saying that there are no consequences for her actions. She has been tortured and imprisoned, denied basic medical care. She has suffered so much, and it is time for her to be free.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Congressional Republicans' loud and bitter responses made Chelsea Manning the number one question at the very last press conference President Obama would ever hold.
First of all, let's be clear. Chelsea Manning has served a tough prison sentence. So the notion that the average person who was thinking about disclosing vital classified information would think that it goes unpunished, I don't think would get that impression from the sentence that Chelsea Manning has served. It has been my view that given she went to trial, that due process was carried out, that she took responsibility for her crime, that the sentence that she received was very disproportionate relative to what other leakers had received, and that she had served a significant amount of time, that it made sense to commute and not pardon her sentence. I looked at the particulars of this case the same way I have the other commutations and pardons that I've done, and I felt that in light of all the circumstances, that commuting her sentence was entirely appropriate.
Still to come, Barack Obama's vision of LGBTQ rights during and after his presidency.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out. That was without cue cards, people.
Extra, extra. All about it. Extra.
At his final press conference, President Obama called on the Washington Blade's Chris Johnson, who asked whether he thought the gains realized by the LGBTQ movement under his administration would be secure in the coming years.
I could not be prouder of the transformation that's taken place in our society just in the last decade. And I've said before, I think we made some useful contributions to it, but the primary heroes in this stage of our growth as a democracy and a society are all the individual activists and couples who courageously said, this is who I am and I'm proud of it. And that opened people's minds and opened their hearts. And eventually, laws caught up. And I think that what we did as an administration was to help the society to move in a better direction, but to do so in a way that didn't create an enormous backlash and was systematic and respectful of the fact that, you know, in some cases these issues were controversial. I think that the way we handled, for example, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, being methodical about it, working with the Joint Chiefs, making sure that we showed this would not have an impact on the effectiveness of the greatest military on earth. And then to have Defense Secretary and Bob Gates and a chairman and Mike Mullen and the Joint Chiefs who were open to evidence and ultimately worked with me to do the right thing. I am proud of that. But again, none of that would have happened without this incredible transformation that was happening in society out there. You know, when I gave Ellen the Presidential Medal of Freedom, I meant what I said. I think somebody that kind and likable projecting into living rooms around the country, that changed attitudes. And that wasn't easy to do for her. And that's just one small example of what was happening in countless communities all across the country. So I'm proud that in certain places we maybe provided a good, block downfield to help the movement advance. I don't think it is something that will be reversible because American society has changed. The attitudes of young people in particular have changed. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be some fights that are important, legal issues, issues surrounding transgender persons. There's still going to be some battles that need to take place. But if you talk to young people, Malia, Sasha's generation, even if they're Republicans, even if they're conservative, many of them would tell you, I don't understand how you would discriminate against somebody because of sexual orientation. That's just sort of burned into them in pretty powerful ways.
From the lips of outgoing President Barack Obama to the ears of newly inaugurated President Donald Trump.
This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and leisure for This Way Out. My partner, who ordinarily is allergic to the news, and I sat rapt in front of the television the first time when President Obama said LGBT and then the words lesbian and transgender. Of course, by then we knew this president was on our side. We were on his side, too. We stayed home from work to watch his first inauguration. I still remember watching President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. We both held our breath because we knew that not everybody would be happy to see the first African-American president. Between our moments of awe, my partner tended to me nonchalant. It's about time, she remarked wryly when I told her that because of the Obama administration, hospitals that took money from the federal government had to honor the medical power of attorney papers of same-sex couples. She was right, of course. It was about time that we had some protections under the law. We are of that generation of lesbians who are used to not having any rights. My partner is a drummer, and to be honest, we came to enjoy marching in the streets. There always seemed to be a drum contingent to hook up with. At the time, I was a performance poet, and I could count on offending people at my readings at the more conventional venues. It was no secret that I rather enjoyed it when people walked out. My partner and I never imagined we'd be legally married someday. At the second inauguration for President Obama, we learned about a poet named Richard Blanco. He was the first Hispanic person and the first openly gay poet to recite a poem at a presidential inauguration. I reviewed several of his books for This Way Out. President Obama made history again at one of his State of the Union addresses.
As Americans, we respect human dignity even when we're threatened. That's why we defend free speech and advocate for political prisoners and condemn the persecution of women or religious minorities or people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. We do these things not only because they are the right thing to do, but because ultimately they will make us safer. I want future generations to know that we are a people who see our differences as a great gift, that we're a people who value the dignity and worth of every citizen, man and woman, young and old, black and white, Latino, Asian, immigrant, Native American, gay, straight. I have no more campaigns to run. I know, because I won both of them.
Thank you, President Obama, for 8 years of your service, for your personal sacrifices, for the wonderful example you set with your beautiful family, and for being a secure man. Thank you also for your commitment to the LGBTQ community. Because of you, we are stronger and ready to take on whatever comes next. This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and leisure for This Way Out.
Can it keep on moving forward? Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back. Never turning back. Never turning back.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, John Dyer V and Jessica Andrea contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. Thanks also this week to the Pacifica Evening News and to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Nina Simone and Emma's Revolution performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who have made this program possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2NUR Newcastle, New South Wales, WSMU North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, KRUX Las Cruces, New Mexico, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.